Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I am your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Tuesday, June 11th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 357. There's no guest. It's just me. Sorry, guys. I am on location for the first time ever recording the podcast in beautiful River Edge, New Jersey, which is not far from my apartment. I'm doing laundry. I just got off work, and I needed to get some laundry done. I needed some of my tidy whities and some of my good t-shirts washed. It was getting down to the wire, and I had to make some things happen. You know, you let your laundry go long enough, and you're just like, things need to be changed, or you're just going to be like a filthy savage going into work and being out in the universe with none of your good clothes. Because it gets to the point where you have like your clothes, your tidy, your underwear that aren't your old ones, and they don't feel good when you're anyway. So I'm taking care of that like an adult and making that happen. And I decided that I did not want to be a slacker. I feel like I needed to get some work done. I'm going to talk to you guys for a while. I figured I'd do an episode. I know I've been slacking lately, but I don't know that I've been slacking. Maybe with the regular feed on the podcast, but I'm not slacking in life. I haven't played my PlayStation in over a month, you guys. So that tells you something there. I only played Days Gone once. I have not played God of War in about a month or so. I've been working. Been trying to make some things happen. Let's talk about the NBA Finals right now. I wish the Raptors would have closed it out. I wish that Kevin Durant did not play last night. I feel so bad. Like, this is like, I don't know if he'll ever be the same. Everybody keeps bringing up the Dominique Wilkins thing. Nobody remembers him when he played with Orlando, you know? But the one thing about KD, he can shoot. But he's going to be gone for a year, and that's messed up. That's messed up free agency, all the fun that was going to happen with that. But then you hear, like, the Knicks are going to the Knicks could, if anybody was going to do it, he could sign with the Knicks. The Knicks could give him all this money and just wait for him to recover, develop R.J. Barrett if they draft him, and then have him come back in whatever form he's in, which is hopefully in good form, and hopefully that he could be somebody that defies the odds with coming back from an injury like that. It fucking sucks, man. And this is the thing, like, I don't want to get too all woke and shit, but the black bodies, the way that we treat them, the way that they try to use you up as much as you can. I know he's a high paid player. I know these dudes are athletes making tons of money. It still rubs me the wrong way. I feel like he was pressured into playing. I feel like even though like some of these guys have the agency over their careers now, especially in the NBA, I feel like he's the type of guy that let all this shit get to him. And he felt like he had to prove something to this team. He's already proved stuff where the fact that he's one of the best players to ever fucking play basketball. I don't see what else he needs to prove to these people, but because of the way he got the championships and he definitely made that team, he game genied the Warriors. You know what I mean? He game genied that franchise. And they are not a better team without him. He proved that. And the way that he looked before he got hurt was just like, I was like, oh, fuck. Because I was rooting, like I told you guys, I was rooting for them. I'm rooting for the Raptors because I don't like the way they treated Kevin Durant. Draymond calling him a bitch and saying, yo, you could leave now. Like, I don't even know if that was the fucking All-Star break yet when that happened. I'm not 100% sure. But that happened earlier in the season. And just the way that he's been treated, and there's reports that the locker room, the players didn't like him being out. I don't know. I just feel I really feel bad about this shit. I think we got robbed of prime Kevin Durant last night. We got robbed of about maybe 4 or 5 years. You know, maybe he maxes out in his prime, maybe about 35, 36, but he could still shoot because he's like, he could be like a, he could age into a Del Curry type, you know? I don't know, man. Or maybe like Dirk Nowitzki, but maybe a little more, but probably more athletic, I would say. Really disappointing. I'm starting to really fall in love with Kawhi Leonard. I just totally like his disposition. You know, the media keeps bringing up, they brought up when, you know, he sat out a year and they were shitting on him, Popovich, even though he's woke and cool and hip, even he, you know, prodded him to try to come back into the, and play. And he didn't play. And he said, yo, trade me then. And they traded him. And he's on the verge of leading this team to winning a championship that I hope happens. I hope it happens for him. And that would mean a lot. That would be really cool to see that happen. I've said this. I probably said this a couple. I tweeted this, guys, that he was the Barry Sanders of the NBA. Super talented, otherworldly talent, just really humble, acted like he's been there before. He has, literally. I think he was the finals MVP when he beat. A lot of people, I was talking to my dad about this. A lot of people don't remember that he beat a prime LeBron James with Miami. Prime, that Dan Le Batard used to call him like piranha defense LeBron James. Was that 2014, I want to say it was? He beat that LeBron James. So he's like, this isn't his first rodeo, guys. And just his total disposition, like they don't want, like they just, oh, we're trying to figure this guy out. We're trying to figure him out. Like just because he's not cooning it up like Gronk, like he's got to be this type of, he's got to be like a wacky guy. And I did some YouTube searching. I don't know how it happened, but last week I was looking at, I think there was some video about Kawhi Leonard when he was taking karate and he's like breaking boards and shit like that. Was really cool. He just looked like he was, you know, it was just did it effortlessly. He's done a series of commercials when he was with the Spurs where he was kind of acting quirky and goofy, for as goofy as Kawhi Leonard could be on, you know, on camera and stuff, doing these like little commercials, which would be like local San Antonio, Texas based commercials with the Spurs. And it looks like the dude has a personality. He's just a quiet dude and he's just a fucking monster on the court. Like that's kind of like, God, like if you imagine just doing that shit, like just imagine how emotional sports can be. Just the like Draymond Green is at the other end and the other end of the spectrum and Kawhi Leonard is where he is. And another thing, like Draymond Green, he's so talented. He's too talented to be acting like a jackass. He's too good to be acting like that. I don't know. He's got behavioral issues. Because he almost got him out. Well, he blocked Lowry's shot last night. It's just a good series. It's a good finals. I'm emotionally invested because I want Kawhi to win. I want the Raptors to win. Part of me still just kind of likes rooting for the underdog and just the arrogance that Golden State has that's just kind of like a little off-putting. Even though I like Curry, I like Klay. They're just like, and then there's people bringing up the color wars. I'm sorry, guys. I have a cold. I'm trying to get rid. That's my apologies. That's one reason why I was late to recording, because I was getting over a cold. So a lot of times, I usually get a cold maybe once or twice a year. I try to take care of myself. I'm in decent health. But, and you know, there's people at work that there's a lady that's a sweetheart. She sneezes all the time. I just say, bless you. There's another lady that like coughs. One lady, anyway, I don't want to go too deep, but there's people that cough a lot and like they're hacking up shit. And the minute you, and I don't say shit to them. I just say, oh, bless you. You need a cough drop. You want me to get you some water? Whatever, whatever. I actually bought one woman a bag of cough drops, like untouched, mint condition. You know, it was, I bought them specifically for her, and I wasn't being a dick. I wasn't like, you fucking need these. Like, no, here, take these. I know how it is, because I know how it is when you got a cold and you're coughing. You feel like you're hacking up a lung. So that was kind of me today, and I hate it. It's embarrassing. It's not. You know, nobody really says anything. One lady was like, oh, hey, Chris, I heard you coughing. I was like, yeah, I'm sick. And I just walked away. I walked away and did what I had to do. And then it made me look like an asshole. But I was like, you know what? I don't say shit when y'all are spreading your germs. And I'm being discreet about it. I'm trying to be a gentleman with my shit. But whatever, man. I don't know. Yeah, so the finals are fun. Just nerve-wracking when you're rooting for people. And it's been like that for a long time. Since LeBron. It's been like that kind of for the last 10 years. So I've really enjoyed basketball. I've really been enjoying the playoffs a lot lately. Just staying up, watching the games. I'll miss the NBA, but I think it's a text message. I'm in my car. If I didn't tell you that already. And I kind of have the AC going because it's hot. It's 82 degrees out and I have a little bit going. So you might hear a little buzz. My apologies if that's happening. So yeah, finals are cool. I'll talk about a couple movies and I'll kind of shoot the shit with you. Well, last week, in the finals, one of the owners of the team, wife was sitting with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Jay-Z and Beyonce was this woman's guest, and she was taking their drink orders, and people were like throwing up memes and shit on Twitter about the girl, that woman trying to hit on Jay-Z, and she was just taking a drink order. And then it got to the level of there being death threats. And I was like, Jesus, like somebody should say something. I was like, God, Beyonce should say, she kind of shouldn't have to. But then her publicist said, hey guys, chill the fuck out. So I was cool that happened. I know that was last week, but that was something that was just really fucking weird. Like, I like Beyonce. I think she's dope. And I know she means a lot to people, but I think she's 37 or 38. She can take care of herself, you know? You don't have to kill, you know? That's that fucking funny ass tweet that, Jean Grey, rapper Jean Grey on Twitter. She's the funniest shit, literally some of the funniest shit I've ever read on Twitter. She said, if Beyonce asked you to kill somebody, what weapon would you choose? Not like, would you do it? Just like, no, you're going to do it. It's implied that you're going to do it. But what weapon would you choose to make that shit happen? Fucking hilarious. So what happened to me last? What did I do last week? Last week, I did the Medium Popcorn podcast. Shout out to Brandon and Justin, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown for having me. That was fun. I hadn't done it in a year, and went down and we did the pod. We reviewed Brightburn, so that's available. That's one of the latest episodes that they got up, and it was fun. I always have a good time doing it, doing their pod, and I had an audition. It was funny about the audition was that it was just a small role, and the character is on a cable TV show where, again, I would be playing a driver. And what's funny about it, that this character dies. So I go in the room, I'm ready, just a couple lines, and, you know, ready to do my job. You know, it's auditioning is a part of the job of an actor. It's what you do. So you go in there, you're prepared, you're off book, and you do what you need to do. So go in there, and the casting director said, okay, so this is basically, you know, you're driving the thing, and then this thing, and then your vehicle blows up. And then I said to her, so this isn't a recurring character, meaning that I wasn't going to be asked back on the show. And she just like busted out laughing. And I was like, ah, oh, you probably heard that all day today. And she's like, no. So it was funny. So that was neat. I made her laugh. It was like an in the room thing. It wasn't, you know, made her laugh a little bit and then did my job. And she's like, oh, wow, that was great. So we'll see. I probably will not book that, but you know what? Maybe I will book it. I'm going to start. Some of it's a little, I'm self-deprecating, but you know what? I got to say, what if I book that? Maybe I will book that shit. You know what I mean? It'd be like those people that, it's a weird thing now. Social media, you got to tell people what you're doing and shit. And you do have to play that game. So you're going to see more content from me maybe on Instagram. I don't know. But you kind of, like people kind of, they'll talk about an odd, like, that's a little too inside baseball, but they talk about, oh, I got an audition and I did. I'll tell you about the audition if anything weird happened, but I don't know, man. I like to say that I'm a little more classy about it than most, than some of my contemporaries on social media. I'll tell you the thing, like if I shot it and then I'll say I shot this thing, and then when it comes out, I like to make sure that I'm actually in the fucking thing, that they didn't cut me out. And then I'll like post, hey, check me out. I'm in this thing, pretty neat, watch the show or whatever. And the last thing that I was in, it's more stuff coming, guys. Stuff coming this summer in about a month or so. If I didn't get cut out. But I was in this show called The Village that just got canceled. And it was really quick. I played a driver, played a cab driver. And it was a 2-day shoot. The first day they didn't use me, but I got paid. Second day, excuse me, guys. The second day, they used me and they shot all these angles and shit like that. It was really cool. And you could only, I think you could hear my voice and you could see my eyes, like looking in the rear view. And then they said, oh, you can't be in this other show because you were in this thing and whatever. But I'll never let that go. I will. There's another story that I'll tell you once this thing that I did actually comes out, and I'll tell you the story behind that. Just remind me of it. Or so, I don't know. I'll remind myself. So that was cool. It was good to audition, get an audition. It had been a couple weeks, maybe been a couple months, a month or two since I went in. The summer is kind of the dead period when you're like a local working actor. I had a thing that I sent in a tape for that didn't pan out. And yeah, so another thing I wanted to talk about, but it's good to get in the room, audition, be seen, and actually get to show people what you can do for 5 minutes or so. You get in a room and show people what you can do. It's always good and always refreshing to get to do that. And that's something that I'm taking more stock in as I get older. I don't know how you would compare that to what, if you're a non-actor or non-artist or whatnot, but like whatever it is that you excel in your life, I think it's good for you to do that as much as you can. And when you get to do it, when money's involved, that's good too. But I wanted to say, like, yeah, do that. I had like a mini wake up call that I talked to one of my good friends about, that I was like, I need to go out for more things and put myself out there even more than I'm already doing, and try to shake things up a little bit and see what happens, and not try to live. Because sometimes you can live in fear. You can, or there's just like this stasis in your life where you're just kind of like, things could be, you would want things to be better, things could be better, but you're kind of comfortable in your security, which is a lot of times it's a false, you could be living in a false sense of security where that can be stripped away from you too. You know, I was in danger of that about a year ago. Yeah, a little over a year ago. So, yeah, I think you just always have to try to wake yourself up out of the doldrums of your everyday mundane life. All right, guys, you see what I did there? What else do I want to talk about? This episode might be really fucking short, but I think it would be an episode nonetheless, a good episode nonetheless. TV stuff. I watched The Last OG season 2. It's good, like a real, really good, solid show. I enjoyed that. I blew through that. That was like, cause it's only like those episodes, it's only a half an hour show and there's like commercials and stuff. So that was good. I started watching Games People Play, on BET about the basketball soap. That's pretty good so far. Good to see Lauren London, doing her thing. That's good, because I don't remember seeing her in much else with the exception of after ATL. I don't really remember seeing her in stuff, and I could be missing shit. I'm pretty sure that I am missing stuff. Fleabag, all the people on Twitter, black Twitter. So it's one thing when white Twitter, like white liberal, artsy, woke Twitter likes something, and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm sure it's pretty good, it's critically acclaimed, I get it. But then when black Twitter's like, yo, this Fleabag Joe Young, it's pretty good, and I was like, okay, all right, now I gotta see what's up with this show. And it's good. It's by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. It's her own creation. She wrote, created, and stars in it. It's about this woman that's gone through a traumatic event in her life, and you kind of find out towards the end of the first season. It's only 12 episodes, 6 episodes in each series, as they call it on the BBC. And the traumatic thing happens. She's estranged kind of from her. It's good. It's definitely worth seeing. You can get through it in a weekend easily. No commercials, less than 30 minutes each episode. She's also the creator, or one of the, she did not create Killing, the series she created, not the books of Killing Eve, but that Killing Eve just ended its second season. And I think that was on AMC, and it was pretty good. It was fine. I liked it. But the second season was kind of like, it's fine. It's definitely entertaining. Sandra Oh won like I think a Golden Globe or an Emmy, and it's totally fine. I'm going to give you some other shit. I'm going to put my clothes in the dryer, and I'll be right back. And I'm black. I'm back, guys. Had to put my clothes in the dryer, and I'm back. So I was talking about TV stuff. I was trying to think of what else. Luther is back, season 5 of that. My coworker was trying to tell me about Luther. I was like, dude, don't spoil it for me. But also, let's talk about the game, you know? And we talked about that shit. I was trying to See, so movies. I went to the movies. I saw two movies this past week. I saw Late Night and I saw The Last Black Man in San Francisco. And I'll talk about Late Night first. Late Night is a new Mindy Kaling movie that I auditioned for and I didn't get a part. But the part that I auditioned for didn't even get in the movie. It didn't make the film anyway. But it would have been a good payday. But I would have been disappointed if I booked it and it didn't get... All right. So let me read this. Let me read the Late Night blurb for you. A late night talk show host's world is turned upside down when she hires her first and only female staff writer. Originally intended to smooth over diversity concerns, her decision brings about unexpectedly hilarious consequences as the two women who are separated by culture and generation become united by their love of a biting punchline. This movie was good. It definitely appealed to me because it's like the late night talk show, show business, TV writer thing. It was more of a, I like the fact that it was, it's a comedy with like, it's just a good movie. It's not really a rom-com, although like Mindy Kaling has a love interest, but it was mainly about the relationship between Mindy Kaling's character and Emma Thompson's character, who Emma Thompson was, her character was, what is it? What's her character's name? Her name was Catherine Newberry. And she's basically like a Letterman if Letterman was a female. And some of the stories are basically about, like, not to spoil anything, but there's a couple stories that are like Letterman. If you know about Letterman's, like, some of his behind-the-scenes stuff, basically, she's like the female Letterman, and she's very dry and funny, and she's kind of aging out, and her character is on the verge of being kicked up. Being replaced by this young upstart comic who's kind of like shoots for the lowest common denominator of being funny, I don't even want to name nobody now. Like, I'm gonna be a dick if I name somebody, but somebody who's not really respected as being like a very like a great comic. Just somebody who's younger and hotter, like younger and hipper, basically. And so the goal of what they're trying to do is trying to not, she basically doesn't want to get replaced. And then the fun comes in with the Mindy Kaling character trying to shake things up and find out who she is as a writer and her growth and all of that good stuff. And it's your typical workplace comedy with the young upstart and the old veteran that doesn't want to change, but then she ends up like obviously teaching Mindy Kaling's character and vice versa. And it's a good time. I was originally, I know my AMC app was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Because I was making reservations to see, like, I was going to see Late Night maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Cause they were doing like some early screening, and I was like, I don't want to go and see Mindy Kaling chase around a white dude for an hour and a half. No, but the joke is like Mindy Kaling is always dating white dudes. That shout out to Josh Homer, comedian Josh Homer, who always gets mad every time Mindy Kaling has it. Cause I'm assuming that he has a crush on her, and he gets mad when he sees her dating a white dude. But I guess I would just be mad with anybody who my crush was dating anyway. I would just be hating on that dude regardless. But I understand where you're coming from, Josh. So that was really good. I ended up not going to the, it was like a Thursday night thing, and I was just like, I don't really good. I think I just watched the playoffs or something and just stayed home. And so I decided on, I was going to go Friday and try to double feature it, like with the Last Black Man in San Francisco. And I was like, do I feel like if I don't have to, this is where I know I'm getting old, where, you know, like I love the idea of, like, if you listen to this podcast long enough, you know, I love going to the movies, especially on a Friday. It's just so relaxing. It's amazing. Like the last time that I did it was seeing Booksmart and Brightburn, which was last month, Memorial Day weekend. It's just like, man, I was like, am I going to pull this shit off? Am I going to be able to make this happen, like, with the time that I selected? And not only that, am I going to stay awake? And I stayed awake for the whole time when that happened. So that was like a perfect start to a weekend. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, going into the city, being in traffic, it takes at least an hour to get into the city from Westchester. And because it only premiered, like, these two films premiered in New York and L.A. And it's only going to, it'll spread out, like, maybe next week it's in wider release, I think, both these movies. And I was just sort of like, I don't know. I think I should just go home. And I looked at my map. I looked at my Google Maps, and it was like, that's going to take an hour. It's going to take like an hour maybe to get home. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to go home and chill and just relax that way. And so that's what I did on Friday. And I said, you know what? Saturday morning, I'm getting up. I saw that there was a 9 o'clock. It's like a 9:45 screening of Late Night, and there was a 1:30 screening of The Last Black Man in San Francisco. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put down some money for parking, chalk it up to the game, chalk it up to just whatever, and have a Saturday, early Saturday morning, going to see two movies that I'm pretty excited to see. Mainly, I was really excited to see The Last Black Man in San Francisco because obviously it's a black film. Anyway, Late Night was good. So I do this thing. I see the movie. I'm happy. I found out that I had like an hour and a half to kill before The Last Black Man in San Fran started. So I was like, okay, I know that I can at least find, because I wanted to eat like a burger later on in the day, but I didn't want to not eat anything and then just be like really sick or get weak. And so that morning I had some waffles and I was like, okay, waffles are good. And then by the time, I'll be cool by the time, but I noticed like I went to, there's this place called Dig In, which is like, I guess that's like, they've got like gourmet food. The next time I do that, if I decide to do that, I might go there again, but I went to the one in Westchester and I was like, have you guys heard of Dig In? Message me, tweet at me to let me know if you've heard of it and been there. It's like a place where you can get like a bowl of food. You get like a protein and a vegetable and a side, and you're probably going to pay $15 for it. Something like that. That was right around the corner from the movie theater. And I was like, you know what? Let me just walk in the city and just enjoy my, just let me just be amongst the people and just have an experience. And it wasn't anything crazy. I just walked up Broadway. I was just on the Upper West Side. But I had bought these new sneakers. These Nike React Runners, which are just like, they looked cool. And I was like, oh, these shoes look dope. I like them. And I found them. I was looking at them on Stadium Goods and they were overpriced. And I found some on eBay at a decent price. So I bought them and they came right away. And I wore them to my audition like earlier, like a week ago. And I was like, I liked how these fucking feel. I really fuck with these. They're like, of course I'm not doing all these like high tech crazy. I'm not running in them. Like, eventually when they get really old, I'll use them at the gym and shit like that. But like, they're just like, they're super comfortable. And so I was like, okay, I like these shoes. And I was like, let me put these on while I'm in the city. And they just felt so good. They're really comfortable. And I said, I got these shoes on. Let me just walk. And I went to Sweetgreen. Sweetgreen is a gourmet, overpriced salad spot in that's all over. If you live in a major city, I'm assuming that you have a couple of them in your downtown area. And they had like in the case of New York, I've only been to two. I've been to the one like in the West Village, and I went to this one in on the Upper West Side, and it's kind of like Chopped. It's like Chopped. It's just anywhere in the city, like in New York City specifically, if you go to a deli and you get a salad, you're probably going to pay $15. Easy. So I was expecting that. I wasn't surprised by the shit. What I was surprised about is that they didn't have ranch dressing. I don't know if I told you guys this. I probably did. I opened for Trevor Noah like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago before he got the Daily Show. Really cool dude. Really dope personality. Really, really funny guy. And so we're backstage, like, talking and stuff. And he's, like, you Americans, you like ranch dressing and, like, making fun of it. I was like, it's good, man. Whatever, dude. And then he was telling me how much he loved the Transformers, like, franchise. I was like, dude, I think I got a one-up on you. You seem to be a real hardcore fan of fucking Transformer movies. Like, unapologetic about it. So I think I can have my ranch dressing, you can have your Transformer movies. I don't know how we could, but I just like we just kind of poked fun with each other about that shit. Trevor Noah, good guy. But that's just me being a real like fucking I'm an American. What about the ranch dressing? And they were like, no, we got Caesar. She was like that was like the closest thing that she's like, yeah, you'll like this. So I got this like and I was not like I had those waffles that morning. It was about 12:30. So I had that like around 7 o'clock. It was time for me to eat something. And I was feeling like I was like, oh, God, you know, when you get that hunger, like you're like I wasn't about to faint, but I was just like, oh, God, I need to eat something. I was like, I need to take, and the line was like long as hell. It was like a 20-minute wait in the fucking line just for an overpriced salad. But I tell you, that salad was fucking great. They give you like your protein that they put in there. Like I had this blackened chicken salad with spinach and like cherry tomatoes and little bread crumbs and all this stuff in there that you can get on there. It was so good and it was light and it made me feel like it was so great. Sweetgreen is the shit. Like, so the next time, maybe the next time I do that, if I don't go to see, I'm a creature of habit. So the next time that happens, I'll probably end up going to Sweetgreen instead of that Dig In place. I wasn't too impressed with Dig In when I went there. I gotta turn like movie review into like a fat boy corner, even though it's kind of healthy. Like the salad shit, it was healthy. And normally I was so hungry, you know, they just throw bread in there. They just give you bread. And I, the little slivers of bread, I ate that too. I destroyed that shit. I was really impressed by Sweetgreen. I think that might've been the second or third Sweetgreen, my second or third Sweetgreen experience, but it was fucking good. Ugh, so good. Black girls made my salad. It was really good. Yeah. Oh, and another fat boy thing before I get to the last man in San Francisco. I'm trying to stretch this thing out for you guys and tell you about the shit that I did last week. Maybe this gets you through a TPS report or some shit. I'm waiting for my laundry. This is what you get. I'm like low. This is like a low energy episode. One of my favorite delis, probably my favorite deli in in the New York, in the tri-state area. But other than the one, the next time I got to get Paul Verzi back on and talk to him. But the Verzi took me to this place in Connecticut that was fucking fantastic. I don't know. I don't remember the name of that place. But I will say, you've heard me mention this place before, the Iron Tomato in White Plains. There's a kid on his bike. I don't know what he's doing. He's contemplating something. Oh, that's his mom. Okay. He's with his mom. And the mom has a little adorable baby in the stroller. And I guess she's letting him hang out and ride his bike while they're taking a walk. Anyway, very nice. Cute kids. Cute scene or whatever. So, Iron Tomato. I didn't know what I have this punch card that it takes a long ass time. Takes a long time to use, because if you go to a deli, if you go to a sandwich spot, most of you know this, you work, you got a job somewhere and you go to a place and you don't bring your lunch, you're dropping at least 10 to 15 bucks. So I look at my card, I have like a couple punches left before I can get a free sandwich or a free salad. So last week I went in and got a salad, and the salad was hitting. And then I said, you know, I want a sandwich. I don't know if I want like a, I don't know what I want. And I went in there, I think I went in there like on a Wednesday. I think I went in there on Wednesday or Thursday last week. And I go in there, and the salad line was mad long. And it was right before 12 o'clock. And so it's like I started walking over to the sandwich section, and the guy calls out to me. He said, what do you need, big man? You don't need to take a number. I got you. Nice black dude, cool black guy. And I think he had made me a sandwich before, and he hooked it up and shit. You got to go. It's always good when you, regardless of what the job, the person, when it's a service. When you're in the service industry and you connect, you meet someone that loves doing your job, especially when it comes to food, and the guy's like, I'm going to hook you up. I'm fucking taking care of. Like a person that likes doing their job or they're in a good mood, like that's the shit, man. Like, you know, like nobody's better than anybody because of what kind of job they have and shit. When you're with somebody, when you're, especially in the service industry, when somebody's making your food and they take pride in it, man. That's the shit. So this guy, I was like, I don't know. Because normally my go-to is like a chicken cutlet wrap and with like spinach and like bacon and a little mayo. Oh, my God. Anyway, so I go in there and the dude's like, I'll take care of it. I was like, you know what? I want to go with the Philly steak and cheese. I thought it was going to be like in a wrap, but he made it like he put it on a wedge. And the wedge is like a big ass piece of bread. And I thought that he like cut it the way that he cut it or whatever. I didn't think anything of it. So it's like, I got you, man. He's like, you want peppers on it? I was like, yeah. You want onions? I was like, yeah, do make it. I said, I trust you. I was like, make it however you're going to make this thing. I believe in you. And this dude took like the beef, gave me like mad beef on there. And he hooked that shit up. And another guy was like looking at him make my sandwich. He was like, oh my God, dude, that's fucking intense, bro. And I was like, yeah, I'm not eating all that. And so I take it and he hooks me up and everything. And it's like, it's an incredible looking sandwich. And that was only, a sandwich like that was only like 10 bucks. And that's actually really good. Because normally it's like 15 or 12 or some shit. So anyway, he hooked it up, and I ate half of it. I ate half of it for lunch, wrapped it up. And I said, I'll just eat the rest of it, like, tonight, like, later on tonight, a few hours later. And I put it in the oven, and I bought myself, like, I had a couple weeks ago, like, some frozen French fries, like Nathan's French fries. Nathan's French fries are the shit. The last time I was home, when I was home last month, my dad was in the store. Me and my mom went in the store and got some stuff. And my dad was like, oh, I want some frozen French fries. I want the crinkle cuts. and Nathan's are the crinkle cuts. I was like, okay, well, I maybe these Nathans are good. That's all that they had in the crinkle cut family. So I got those, and my dad made some, and they were fucking good. It's hard for me. I don't know why, like, that's become one of the hardest things to cook. Like, I know it's frozen food and shit, but for some reason it they don't usually come out right. I've had the Checkers fries, they've been okay. I've had like steak fries, like the Oreidas. I've had curly fries usually come out the best for me. I've usually done better with like seasoned or curly fries. It's nothing really, you're doing anything special to them, but you're just putting them in there. And those things tasted great. And I was like, okay, next time I get some, I'm getting these. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put some of these fries. I'm going to warm up some of these fries with this sandwich. And I warmed the joint up, put it in the oven. That shit was flames. So I know they're not sponsoring my podcast, but Nathan's frozen fries are fucking great. They were hitting. Those fries were official. I'm a big fan of those. Like, not going to eat those all the time, but they were very good. When you want to make something happen, very impressed by those fries. So that was good. So that was a pretty good, you guys got a movie review. You got a Fat Boy Corner. You got my playoff analysis. I want to talk about The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Okay, here we go. This is the blurb. Jimmy and his best friend Mont try to reclaim the house built by Jimmy's grandfather, launching them on a poignant odyssey that connects them to their past, even as it tests their friendship and a sense of belonging in the place they call home. This movie was directed by Joe Talbot. Screenplay by Joe Talbot, Jimmy Fails, and Robert Reichert. This is the best film. This is one of the best films I've seen in 2019. Very, very artsy, but it had a lot of heart to it. And in this genre of like art house films, it's the best, like when it comes to like working on the level of being like a very good art house film. Like, cause art house films, like, they can go either way. They go to Sundance or they go to these prestigious festivals, and this film is one of the greatest films I've ever seen in my life. If you don't see it, you are a piece of shit. The way that you have to fucking see these things, and it gets all these rave reviews, and it's kind of underwhelming. And I knew that this film had done well, and it had some heat behind it, but I just clocked it, whereas when I saw the trailer, I was just like, okay, I want to see this. There's black people in it. I definitely want to fuck with this kid. Now this adorable kid is like looking at me, you know, with his bike. He's looking at me record. Now he's not anymore. I don't know where his mom is. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, it's the best movie that I've seen in that regard since Columbus. And you guys know that I'm obsessed with that movie. I'm going to need to see this movie again. It was just like, you could tell that it was just like, it was theatrical in a lot of ways. It sort of had like those elements of theater, kind of had like a Greek chorus to a certain degree, sort of had like, oh man, like it was way more like it had way more. I can't see. I don't want to say that. The heart that it had was a little like comparing it to Columbus, because you get a terrific performance from my girl Haley Lou Richardson and oh my God, what's wrong with me? Oh my God, John Cho. Like, they give like terrific performances, so it has heart. But like the direction, I don't know. There's two different movies, but I think I'm kind of getting the same vibes from this movie that I got from Columbus. But Columbus, I think going into it, I had more excitement to Columbus because it had a white starlet that I liked. And then like there was the white starlet aspect of it. And then the fact that it was critically acclaimed. But Last Black Man in San Francisco, I guess, you know, A24. So it was like, I'm kind of a label whore sometimes when it comes to these movies. A24 is really, I was like, okay, I'm sold. That's all you got to tell me. I'm going to see it. Now, whether I like it or not, that's another thing. But that it had A24 behind it, and it had two black leads, and it had Danny Glover in it too. So I was going to see it. It just struck me in a way like, It was like, because to a certain degree, it's kind of like, where is this going? I see what you're doing. Like, it was kind of like how Medicine for Melancholy was basically a love story, but it was also about gentrification in San Francisco and the toll that it's taken on a city and how things are changing. Sucker Free City, Spike Lee, a Spike Lee joint that was a Showtime, like a Showtime movie, also dealt with that stuff and the different types of people in there. But it was a meditation on that. It was a meditation on family, about like being displaced, like your family, like your blood, and then at the same time your family that you grow. It was about community. It was fucking beautiful. And towards the end, it sort of hit me like where I was like, yeah, this movie's fucking great. Cause it got to a point, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but it gets to a point where it's like, oh shit, this is what this one character, you think he's kind of off, but maybe he's on the spectrum a little bit. But then you see the payoff to what his character was doing, and it just becomes this beautiful fucking thing. And it was just like really sweet. I was just looking at a couple, I was a little apprehensive because I also like the fact that I didn't know what this fucking movie was about. I kind of knew it was about a house and that's it. So I kind of like the fact that I went into this movie not really reading any press, not really knowing what it was about, just knowing that it had black actors in it. One thing that I was kind of like interested, that I was kind of like, I gave an eyebrow raise to that the director was white. I was like, what the fuck? It's a white man? How's a white man going to be directing these black people? No, I wasn't. I was low-key kind of like that. But those dudes were like best friends since they were like preteens or something, which I found out after the fact. But kind of like that movie that everybody raved over that I thought was fine. But what is that movie? Oh, shit. What is that dude from Hamilton? Hold on a second. I wasn't going to know that right off the rip. Maybe I wasn't. My battery's about to die. So I'm going to try to close on this. David Diggs. Oh, my God. Blind Spotting. So that was also like a Oakland, like a Bay Area movie that also kind of dealt with some of the same issues with similar issues. That was also about a friendship. So it kind of reminded me of that too. But this is a beautiful film, but just like aesthetically, every fucking shot was like a work of art. Like, it got to the point like where it's like, okay, dude, you're flexing really hard on this shit. Like, this is fucking beautiful. It's like Koganada did the same thing. Like, these two directors, like, out of the gate, like, were just like these beautiful fucking films. And it also reminded me, just from a story standpoint, when it comes to like community and shit like that, it reminded me of Be Kind Rewind, where that was another film about like community and how all the people, even though, and that's also based on a friendship and stuff like that, but it just like, not like, it didn't remind me exactly of Be Kind Rewind, but Be Kind Rewind had a little bit of fantastical shit going on. But overall, a little August Wilson-y, little August Wilson shit in there. Just like, it was just really good. It was really building, it just built towards something that I was unexpected. And it was heartwarming. A lot of people talk about like the black male vulnerability that was in it without being gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But like masculinity, just with people that were friends, that there was like genuine love between these two main characters. And beautiful fucking film. I need to run it back. So I think when it opens, I'm hoping that it opens at the Jacob Burns Film Center, and maybe I'll go see it there or somewhere. So I really want to see it again. It's really fucking beautiful, and I think it's one of the best films of the year. One of the best things I've seen, and we're 6 months in. So, it's one of the best movies I've seen this year. I'd have to look at my like AMC stubs and see what I've seen, but I would say Premature, which I saw. I don't know when that's going to come out so you guys can see it. But that and Last Black Man in San Francisco, definitely when it opens in your town, I think it's going into wide release this week, I think. So it'll be in more cities, and I think you should check that shit out. What else? I think that's it. E3 is going on. I don't know. I don't really give a shit about anything. Keanu Reeves is going to be in that Cyberpunk game. Interest is peaked in that. Only other game I can think about, really, other than The Last of Us 2, that game Control looks good. Death Stranding, I talked about that last week. That looks good. It looks interesting. But The Last of Us 2, like, they just need to give us a fucking release date. Give me a release date so I can pre-order the game, get my money right, and pre-order that bitch. And so I can be about Ellie, you know, taking down the people that killed her, who I think probably killed her girlfriend. I don't know. Super excited about that. Just give us a date, Naughty Dog. Jesus Christ. Music, I don't know, music, there's stuff that I need to check out. Excited about Bandana. Is that the right thing? Is that the right, the Freddie Gibbs and Madlib? What was the thing that they, I'll look at my phone here. The kids, because that record Crime Pays is fucking incredible. That's a record that's walk-on music. Yeah, I was right. Wait a minute. Pinata. Yeah. So Pinata was a project that they did like a few years back. Pinata was 2014. So like 5 years ago. And Bandana is a new project. The record Crime Pays is fucking awesome. That sample is incredible. Freddie Gibbs just knows how to rap over these fucking soul tracks. What else? Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else, other music that I'm. Novelist from Clear Soul Forces, Metal Face Hokage. He's really into anime, and he can rap. He raps his ass off. Igor, I talked about that. Talked about Currency a week or two ago, I think. Currency and Static Selecta, Gran Turismo, Blue in Exile got an EP called True and Living. Yeah, man, I think that's it. I think so. That's really excited about seeing Jenny Lewis next week, and I'll probably be gushing over that in a week or so. Yeah, it's next week in Northampton, so I'm super excited about that. And yeah, man, so that's it. Thanks so much for listening to me, sinus infected, nasally episode of this show. And thanks so much for listening. And I'll talk to you next time, everybody. Peace.